by Director Park. And the Regal Cinema there, for years, had theater stanchions that they placed on the public sidewalk. And I know how long it's been because I've got some stuff on YouTube, and I actually extracted a photograph from that. And that had to be before Commissioner Fish had the Occupy Portland encampment evicted, and the Portland police threw out the mandolin that we can watch on YouTube. So that was since 2011. So on a daily basis, including up to about 6 months ago, Regal Cinema was allowed to just put out an ADA violation right on the sidewalk. And I know that we've heard a little bit this morning already about issues with homeless people and whatnot. And I know that there are pregnant homeless people that have been giving sidewalk warnings and tickets. But here's a business that's putting out an ADA violation on a daily basis with impunity. So we certainly don't have equal enforcement in this community. And I think one of the things that speaks to that louder than I could is the fact that the United States Attorney sued the city of Portland for the pattern and practice of the Portland police using excessive force against persons with mental illness or perceived to be mentally ill. I'm one of those perceived to be mentally ill persons because I have the guts and the integrity to come in here and point out just how hollow these things are that you're always posturing about. And it actually sickens me. And I hope that we can address these things. I spoke with Commissioner Saltzman today about how my nonprofit affordable housing landlord who evicted me has a fiveplex that's vacant right now. How can they get away with that, Housing Commissioner? I gave you a note December 18th, and you didn't even get it? How can we take these things serious if you don't? Thank you for your time. I'm leaving.
Morning, Mark.
Hey, morning. Mark J. Alfines, Jr. with UCARE. First off, I'd like to say I'm happy here that they actually have a report on the homeless issue. The only downfall I have as it stands now is that, as it's been addressed currently today, there are being sweeps done again, which I don't comprehend as to why you even continue to allow these sweeps, simply because some ignoramus that is driving in a car and has money in his pocket and a roof over his head thinks that he's better than somebody. That's incorrect. That's why this equity thing stands. There's a reason for equity, because those people that are treated lesser need to be raised up and not treated like lesser and treated like criminals simply because they're poor or they are unable to afford housing. Second off, again, I would like to address the fact that, well, if you guys want to meet this 10-year plan, build a shelter. The argument's been simply this, that not everybody use it. Well, guess what? People will. That's what we need to focus on. Who cares who won't use it? Because then you can divide them. Then you actually have authority upon the streets. Because those people that actually want to make a change can go into that place and actually get off the streets and actually lift themselves up, and you can afford them an opportunity. And then, again, like I said prior, you have met your 10-year plan to end homelessness because you have at least, at minimum, afforded them the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. No one else signed up? Then let's take a motion to accept the report. Is there a second?
Second.
And any further discussion? Roll call on the report.
Well, I want to begin by thanking Director James and his team. Commissioner Fritz, who is sick but is no doubt home watching us and grading us as this thing goes forward. So we wish her well. And Mayor Hales, you as well, all three of you and your teams for your leadership in bringing us to this day. I was proud to vote to support the creation of the Office of Equity, but as we said at that time, the hard work was to follow, and you're now doing the hard work. A couple years ago, Deborah Cafori and I co-chaired the Complete Count Committee, which was set up to bring the community into the conversation about the census. And one of the things I learned from that experience was Because of the categories we use and because of the inadequate resources to do the outreach, we undercount groups. And when we undercount groups, what happens is we get fewer dollars from other governments like the federal government to address community needs, and it becomes a self-perpetuating problem. We also lose something else. We lose political clout. We had actually hoped in the last census that we would be able to document enough population growth to earn a new congressional district in the state of Oregon, which would magnify our voice in Washington. It did not happen, but we learned a lot about counting and categories, how people identify, and we had a wonderful community conversation about doing a better job. So what's our goal here? It was said so eloquently by one of our speakers, our award-winning speaker, when she said, it's a challenge about a better place for all. For all. We love the city. And some of us have been here longer than others. But we love the city. But we understand we need to do better for all. And if it is not for all, then we have fallen short. What does it mean to address inequities and disparities? Let me just give you a concrete example, because it's an example of how the focus and the coalition building changes things. A year and a half ago, the Speaker of our legislature said she would make as her number one priority removing barriers to Section 8 voucher holders. Now, that's a big deal, $50 million coming into our community for Section 8, the largest housing program in America, largest housing program in the state of Oregon, largest housing program in the city of Portland. And yet, under the law, you could run an ad in the Oregonian saying no Section 8 need apply. Well, we took a look at who was applying for those units. And guess what? Disproportionately, they were black and brown, older, disabled. Guess what? They were people protected by our civil rights laws, but not protected when it came to finding a place to live. And so Oregon took a big step last year, and I compliment Speaker Kotek and the legislature, the governor, the coalition, many of you who fought to make this change. And we said, no, a Section 8 voucher holder henceforth will have the same rights in terms of choosing where to live as any other prospective tenant. And we will not allow a de facto redlining to occur that prevents people from choosing where they live, raise their family, and what schools they send their kids to. Well, we didn't get that right till 2013. So it reminds us this is a constant struggle, and we have a lot of work ahead. But we learned in that fight that if you have strong leadership, because Section 8 reform would not have happened without a speaker saying it was her priority, and the votes were very close in the Senate, if we have a coalition, if we have a vision, and if we have the will to change things, we can do so. To me, that's our model. That's our ultimate goal. And if we're going to tackle historical inequities and disparities, we better be very focused, and we better have a big team that drives that agenda. So I thank our friends at the Office of Equity for coming forward today. I thank the community members that have worked so hard to support their work. I thank everyone who testified. This, again, is the beginning, not anywhere near the end of our journey. But you've set out some clear goals, and you've challenged each of us through our bureaus to achieve those goals, and you've set up a vision for a better Portland. And I'm very proud today to accept your report and to do my part to further this vision. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Dante, and your staff for a great report. And I'm very impressed with the dashboard. That's going to be a very useful tool, I think, for all of our bureaus. And I also wanted to thank you in particular for your work with the Children's Levy as they prepare now to issue RFPs for investing some $10 million a year in proven programs that are going to make a difference in young people's lives. You've been very helpful to us in dealing with issues around equity and making sure that our dollars are going to reach those young people most in need. So I appreciate all the work you've done. I know that the initial goals for the office were to deal with racial issues and those with disabilities. I guess at some point, maybe through our budget process, I guess I will be asking the question, is it time to expand the focus of the office on GLBTQ issues, issues of older adults. There are other issues out there, too. I don't know whether it's time to expand, but that's just a question I will be asking at some point. And so I'll appreciate your thoughts at those times. But good job. Aye.
Novick.
I want to also express my appreciation to everybody who worked so hard to create the Office of Equity and everybody who testified today. And this, for me, has been a reminder that the Office of Equity has value in and of itself, but also its value is enhanced by our willingness to use it. And it's up to us to ensure that our bureaus engage with the office and take full advantage of its capacity to advise us on our budgets, on our outreach, on everything that we do. And I just want to state my commitment that I want to make sure that my bureaus are engaging with the office as we make specific project decisions, policy decisions, and as we draw up the budget. And in this year's budget cycle, I want to make sure that we all as a council on all the bureaus and in the budget as a whole are taking advantage of the office capacity to analyze the impact of the financial decisions we make. So thank you very, very much for the report. Thank everybody for your testimony today. Please to vote aye.
Hales.
Great report. Great testimony. Thank you for this opportunity for all of us to check in on this important work that we're doing together. I think this discussion has really highlighted the big question of how do you change a big institution? And I think we hear it here in this room. One, you have to have a clearly stated intention. This is what we need to pay attention to. This is where we want to go. Then, secondly, you have to back that up with a commitment, both in the heart and in the budget, to do the work. And I think we're there. We've done that. We need to maintain that. And then it's a thousand little things that start to show you whether you're making progress or whether there's still more work to do. And we just got some vignettes of that here this morning. If the Parks Bureau is thinking about whether our aquatics programs are culturally suitable for all the communities that we serve or whether we've got a problem there, that's progress. If East Precinct is deliberately reaching out to the Somali community because there's a large concentration of Somali New Portlanders in East Portland, and there's certainly every reason for folks that have recently immigrated from Somalia to wonder about trusting the police. But the East Precinct has been working really hard with Polo's help and others at building that kind of dialogue. That's progress. You can also look around at places that we haven't made that kind of progress yet and know how much more work we have to do. So I'm looking forward to the next chapter of this work as well, not only because I have the privilege of working directly with Dante and his staff, but because I have bureaus that have work to do and more progress to make. So I think what you're hearing here on the council, and it is a shame that Commissioner Fritz is no doubt watching from home coughing because she would look like she was not going to make it in today when I saw her yesterday. And for her not to be here, she has to be pretty sick. So, Amanda, we wish you well and soon. But all of us, including especially her, are fully committed to continuing this good work. Thank you for the progress thus far. Aye. Let's take a 2-minute break, and then we'll move to our next time certain.